Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions. The number is always to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll be going to your calls in just a little bit. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to read a quote, and this is only prologue to something that I'm going to forward today in the third segment as the quote of the day, but hopefully this will capture your attention. This is a quote from Charles Darwin in The Descent of Man, and it points to the utter racism, which I will underscore more fully with the quote of the day, of the Darwinian system of evolution, and also underscores why we have spent a month talking about Darwin's House of Cards as well as Revolutionary, the film. Either one of those resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. But this comes not as a deduction from Darwin's thinking. This is a direct quote of what Darwin said. At some future period, he wrote, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races. At the same time, the most human-looking apes will no doubt be exterminated. The break will then be rendered wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state, as we may hope, than the Caucasian and some ape as low as a baboon, instead of, at present, between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. Darwin didn't intend the biological theory of evolution to be applied merely to lower species, but to human beings themselves. Nor can we in any way airbrush his pernicious words away, as so many people do today, by simply saying Darwin was a man of his time. It is important that we recognize not only that Darwin built a house of cards, but that house of cards was built out of sexism, racism, and even eugenics, which became a science. And again, I'll undergird that in the third segment of today's broadcast. Also want to let everybody know, listening to my voice right now, I'm not going to be in studio for the next 3 days. I'm going to be in the hospital receiving my fourth chemo session, but I have some incredible broadcasts on tap for you. I did an interview with Drs. Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt, And in that interview, which will be airing tomorrow and Wednesday, we're talking about how the world is not only intelligently designed to support life, but designed by the Creator to facilitate discovery. But not only that, the world is filled with discernible beauty and purpose, which reveals that the designer is not merely intelligent, but manifests true genius. So when we look at the hallmarks of human genius, like, for example, William Shakespeare, we see the same characteristics, but on an immeasurably greater scale when we examine the universe in which we live. Anyway, all of that coming up tomorrow and Wednesday, while I'm being pumped full of chemo. And then on Thursday, John Stonestreet, co-author of A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World, a very important work. It is going to be the resource of the month, all of August. And I had a most intriguing discussion with John about the very nature of culture and the unseen undercurrents within our culture that are shaping 21st century youth. In other words, what's going on? John explains this on, again, Thursday's broadcast right here on the Bible Answer Man. And you think about the waves. Waves are things that we see, but there's also a rip current. The waves might be things like same-sex sexuality. We've been talking about it on the broadcast. Or gender fluidity, or abortion, euthanasia, pornography, racial tensions, and the like. Those are waves. They're readily discernible. But what's not as discernible is the riptide or the rip current. Those who surf know all about this. You put your blanket on the beach, you go out for a swim, and all of a sudden you look and your blanket is a distant speck. You've moved because there's a rip current moving you. And that rip current is decidedly dangerous, as all those who know the ocean are well aware of. And some of those rip currents involve perpetual adolescence. We're going to be talking about that. The information age in which we live, along with technology. And even identity, what it means to be truly human. Big difference between what Darwin thought about that and what we think about that as those who know we are created in the image and likeness of God and therefore accountable to Him. Again, all of that coming up in the next three broadcasts right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's go to the phone lines. First up, Dave in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dan. How are you doing?
Good.
First of all, I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me. My question to you is, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up to Yeshua, or Jesus, and they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Yeshua said, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, and on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So my question to you is, how are we supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and strength?
Well, this is the great goal of every single person created in the image and likeness of God. And it does not mean that we will attain to that goal perfectly. Jesus said, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, be perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But in saying that, we again ask the question that you asked. How in the world is it possible for anybody to be perfect? And the enigmatic answer to that is that Christ could do what we could not do. In other words, as the words of Scripture point out, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And therefore, ultimately, we are positionally righteous if we are found in Christ. Practically, we are sinners who strive to, through the graces of God, attain to union with God or fellowship in the Trinity.
As eloquent as that was, I don't think you really kind of explained it. You wish to me for I could explain it to you, I think, a little bit better maybe than the viewers. And he said, Yeshua said, and all these two hang all the law and prophets. Now, if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength, A, you're not going to have first commandment. You're not going to have any other gods before him. Two, you're not going to have any craven images and bow down to them. Three, you're not going to take his name in vain. And four, you're going to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because the Sabbath is a memorial of creation and a memorial of Creator who created heaven, earth, and seas and all that is in them. And if you love your neighbor as in yourself, you're not going to murder them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to covet them. You're going to honor your father, your mother, etc., etc., the rest of the commandment, how it's broken down. I heard your caller call earlier about the Sabbath, and you said it's not important. Well, it's not important to you, but it's important to God.
Oh, no, I didn't say that at all, Dave. And I think that you have a failure here in understanding the Scriptures. It is true that you were far more eloquent than I was in terms of your communication skills, but there is another art, and that's the art and science of biblical interpretation. It is, as I said many times, it's a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And I think learning that art, as well as your elocution skills, is a very, very important thing to do. One of the things you'll learn there is the art of typology. And so often we think about prophecy from only one perspective. We never think about it from a typological perspective, but the whole Bible is typological. There's a type or a shadow, and then there's an antitype or a fulfillment. And the danger is always to forget the fulfillment and go back to the type or shadow. And of course, the writer of Hebrews makes plain that to do that is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So there's nothing wrong with worshiping on the Sabbath, as you're alluding to. The failure is to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol, and that it is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. And therefore, the emphasis for worship is always on the capstone. The capstone is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every single week, as we gather together, as we partake of the pure body and precious blood of the Lord, we remember his resurrection, because without that resurrection, we have no hope. Conversely, with that resurrection, we are those who ultimately know that we too, like Christ, will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And as I said, you alluded to a call last week, and I remember it vividly because it was not a question, it was a sermon or a sermonette. And as I explained to the caller last week, if you insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, you should also be forewarned that failing to keep the letter of the law would be hazardous to your health. Because if you want to keep the Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath must be put to death. And I think, again, you have to understand what Paul says in the New Testament when he says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The Sabbath was a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ, and therefore your religious rites must inevitably bow to this redemptive reality. And by the way, one of the reasons I take this this kind of question with the tone that I do is that I have spent years and years speaking publicly, and invariably, someone very much like this particular caller will be waiting for me, or a group of people will be waiting for me. They're waiting for everybody else to be gone. And they're typically Seventh-day Adventists who are telling me that I've taken on the mark of the beast because I'm worshiping on Sunday as opposed to on Saturday. And the way in which these questions are presented is ever more clever, but I'm used to it. I've had about 30 years of experiencing it. So, Dave, nice try. But I've had that one pulled on me quite a number of times. Kind of knew what was coming. We're coming to Station Break. We'll be right back on the other side of the Station Break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Last day to get Revolutionary or Darwin's House of Cards, either one available for those who support the ministry all this month, one day, today, that's it. Then we're going on to another book of the month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I'll be right back.
As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Journalist Tom Bethel uses his decades-long journey through the flimsy evidence of Darwinism to make a compelling case to topple Darwin's House of Cards, arguably the greatest myth in the history of science. To receive your copy of Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science, its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy, the philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we must understand the facts and be able to dismantle Darwin's outdated ideas and their de-evolutionary influence on our world." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And a reminder that we're asking for those who the Lord leads to join CRI's monthly support team. If you're an occasional donor, thank you for being part of the team. Thank you for standing with us, shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle of truth. But I want to encourage you to consider becoming a member of the support team this month so that your support will shape the minds and change the lives of people day in and day out. Support team members are like our special forces. Please consider doing that, and when you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. I want to take a quick Facebook question and then back to our callers. This is from Blake. Maybe it's not a quick Facebook question, but it's a very important one, and I'll explain why in just a moment. According to an ABC affiliate in Omaha, writes Blake, ancient Canaanites survived biblical wrath. DNA evidence proves this. You may even know someone who derives their ancestry from the group of people. Any help you can provide on this? So in other words, the ABC affiliate is saying that the ancient Canaanites survived biblical wrath. DNA evidence shows this. And so as a result of that, the Bible has to be wrong. And of course, this is fairly tame, Blake. When you start looking at what else has been written in this regard, this is a question that has been asked over and over again. And this question is a question that has arisen as a result of what has been written, most of which is very sensationalistic. For example, study disproves the Bible's suggestion that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out. The Telegraph. The Bible gets it wrong. Ancient Canaanites survived and their DNA lives on in modern-day Lebanese. Pulse. DNA versus the Bible. Israelites did not wipe out the Canaanites. Cosmos. And then there's the Washington Post. Now, a study of Canaanite DNA rules out the biblical idea that an ancient war wiped out the group. So what's the message here? The message is the Bible cannot be trusted. The Bible is fraught with error. And these stories often cite Deuteronomy chapter 20 as proof. And the research studies say that DNA derived from roughly 3,700-year-old skeletons at an excavation site in Lebanon, a site that was formerly a major Canaanite city-state, shows that present-day Lebanese derived most of their ancestry from a Canaanite-related population, which therefore implies a substantial genetic continuity in the Levant since at least the Bronze Age, the Levant being the epicenter of the Middle East. So, bottom line, if all of this holds up, as further research is done, modern-day Lebanese people are descendants of the ancient Canaanites. But even if that research holds up, it may or may not, but even if it does, the research does not disprove the Bible. It does something very, very different from disproving the Bible. Instead, this new genetic study is simply one more confirmation of the biblical account. All you have to do, again, is learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. The book of Judges explains that the Israelites never drove Canaanites out completely. In fact, if you read the text, there are passages that say that the Canaanites will become traps for you and their gods will become snares for you. And the dominant biblical language of driving out indicates that extermination passages are not to be taken in a wooden, literalistic sense. Driving out or dispossessing is different from wiping out or destroying. You can't both drive out and destroy at the same time. So the point here is that God's commands to destroy the nations inhabiting the promised land of Canaan should never be interpreted in isolation from their immediate context. The command to destroy them totally, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 7, is contextualized by the words, "Do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your sons and daughters away from following me to serve other gods." So we see the aim of God's command was not the obliteration of the wicked, but the obliteration of wickedness. Furthermore, let me say this. God's martial instructions are qualified by his moral intent to spare the repentant. And no greater example of that can be given than Rahab. Now remember, Rahab was a Canaanite. She's also a prostitute. Probably more well known for being a prostitute than a Canaanite, but Rahab and her whole family were allowed to live among the Israelites. Not only that, but Rahab, the prostitute, came to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ, which underscores a very significant point, which is not only that God unequivocally commanded Israel to treat the aliens living among them with respect and equality, but that there are blessings for those who repent. Of course, the concern for foreigners clearly demonstrates that the mercy that was shown to those who by faith repented of their idolatry and were therefore grafted into true Israel is a maxim. It's a principle. Again, blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel. So this idea that the Bible has been disproven comes as a direct result of people not being able to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And here's why I wrote my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. In the first half of that book, what I do is I demonstrate that the Bible is divinely inspired. It is a trustworthy authority. But in the second half of the book, I teach people the art and science of biblical interpretation so that these kinds of passages are not used to discredit the Bible, or when they are, you have an answer. And this is one of the things that I lay out in some detail in my book, Has God Spoken? And Christina, I think you have been reading that book.
I have been reading it. It's very good and very in-depth. I remember having an apologetics class, and I never got nearly as in-depth as I did, as we do in this book. And I think something like regarding that quote that you always talk about is Proverbs 26:4-5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. I think it's always wise to take what people say and to look at Scripture and be like the Bereans are and to examine Scripture. The problem is that people look at this stuff and they don't even look at Scripture or care to understand it in its full context in order to figure out what's going on. I mean, like, the fact that you don't even know that Rahab is in the lineage of Christ, it's like, and she was a Canaanite, it just baffles me that people say things without ever actually looking at the text and giving it its due.
And sometimes they do that because they have an agenda. And you give the perfect example, answer a fool, don't answer a fool. And on the one hand, Psalm is saying answer a fool. On the other hand, he's saying don't answer a fool. So which is it? So a lot of people pose that as a contradiction. And as you just pointed out, that's one of the issues I deal with in terms of apparent contradictions in my book, As God Spoken. Back at the phone lines, we'll talk to Steve in Abbotsford, British Columbia, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. So I've got a question for you that's a little off the beaten path, but it's been kind of eating at me.
Okay.
I walked away from all forms of Christianity when I was in my late teens. But I've recently decided to turn back, and I've chosen the Catholic faith. But my wife is non-denominational and kind of disagrees with my choice. How do I deal with that? Like, I've been looking at the scriptures, and I haven't been able to find anything that I've been able to get any answers from.
Yeah, you know, this is it's a very, very difficult situation because it involves interpersonal relationships, and the most significant of your relationships from a human level is your wife. The two cleave to one another and they become one flesh. And this is one of those things that I think you need to be gentle with, something that you need to be patient with, and you should be able to give a good reason why you want to go from one church to another church. In other words, this is something that needs to be discussed, and there should be dialogue here, but there shouldn't be acrimony. This shouldn't become contentious. I mean, this is something that if you fully understand the issues involved, then you have a point of dialogue. But oftentimes, these dialogues are based on misinformation. So sometimes, instead of pontificating, we're better off asking questions. Why is it that you resist this? Or what is it in your particular church or the non-denominational context or community that you find so precious? And through that discussion, you can come to a meeting of the minds. And again, very, very difficult, but the other thing that I think that I would like to point out in this context is that God has his people everywhere. God has his people in evangelical Protestant contexts. He has his people in Catholic contexts. He has his people in Orthodox contexts. As I've traveled the world, if there's one thing I have learned, it is that God has his people everywhere. So again, in dealing with this, I mean, it's a matter of patience and discussion, and hopefully you can come to a mutual understanding, because I think it's important that you're not divided in worship, particularly in the family. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers.
The Christian Research Institute exists to equip you with resources to stand against assaults on biblical truth. This month, we're tackling the threat of Darwinism. In Darwin's House of Cards, veteran journalist Tom Bethel explains that Darwin's theory is a 19th century idea past its prime, propped up by logical fallacies, bogus claims, and empirical evidence that is all but disintegrating under an onslaught of new scientific discoveries. Are you equipped to help dismantle the Darwinian myth that dominates our world today? To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Veteran journalist Tom Bethel believes the great problem with science as it is understood today is that authority more and more replaces evidence. In his new book, Darwin's House of Cards, Bethel explains how Darwinism was once a well-fortified castle with elaborate towers, moats, and battlements. Yet today, it more closely resembles a house of cards, built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence, and liable to blow away in the slightest breeze. Don't overlook this evidence-driven opportunity to topple the authoritarian regime that Darwinism is in the world today. To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day, well, it has to do with Charles Darwin. In fact, it entails the very words of Charles Darwin. And this is the last day in which we'll be promoting actively Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel, as well as Revolutionary, the Michael Behe story. Both of these resources are available for those who support the ministry this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. But we've saved the quote of the quote of the quote of the year, really, for right now, or at least the quote of the month, talking about the evolutionary hypothesis, which deep down is very nasty because it's eugenic in nature. the idea that the survival of the fittest ought to be applied to human beings. So this is an applied science. It implies that the science of breeding is not relegated to animals. The best are allowed to breed. The worst or unfit are eliminated. That idea, applied according to Darwin to human beings, as the quote of the day underscores, pay careful attention. This is pretty stunning, said Darwin, and I quote, "With savages, the weak in body or mind are soon eliminated, and those that survive commonly exhibit a vigorous state of health. We civilized men, on the other hand, do our utmost to check the process of elimination. We build asylums for the imbecile, the maimed, and the sick. We institute poor laws, and our medical men exert their utmost skill to save the life of everyone to the last moment. There's reason to believe that vaccination has preserved thousands who, from a weak constitution, would formerly have succumbed to smallpox. And thus, the weak members of civilized societies propagate their kind. No one who has attended to the breeding of domestic animals will doubt that this must be highly injurious to the race of men. It is surprising how soon a want of care, or care wrongly directed, leads to the degeneration of a domestic race. But excepting in the case of man himself, hardly anyone is so ignorant as to allow his worst animals to breed." So Darwin is saying, well, except for human beings, no one would be so foolish as to let the worst of his animals breed, but we do it with human beings. We do it with the imbecile. We do it with the person who has a weak constitution, and therefore we're retarding the evolutionary process. Darwin could hardly have been more direct in the descent of man when it came to the science of eugenics, which is one of the greatest blights in human history. And it wasn't until eugenics reached its full promise in the German death camps that it finally slid undercover. And no one would own up to the fact that in blue states like New York and California, it was a prescription, a scientific maxim, forwarded in universities, Stanford on the West Coast. You have Princeton on the East Coast, and many other prestigious universities, and backed by money like the Rockefeller money, and backed by presidents, or the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. And today, no one wants to own up to eugenics, or even where it came from. Well, really, it came from Darwin's house of cards. Of course, Darwin himself borrowed it, because this even preceded him. He is the popularizer, and we all think about Darwinian evolution, but he had predecessors. The litany and the lineage precedes them. Unfortunately, we have neo-Darwinists today, and they are making excuse for Darwin, saying, well, he's just a man of his time. All the while, we in our time continue to pay reparations for the horror of eugenics. The state in which I live is one of the states in which reparations continue to be paid. Let's go back to the phone lines. By the way, the quote of the day will be up on the web soon. Jeremy in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi there, Hank. Thank you for having me. I do want to bless you for you and your ministry and what you're going through. May God keep you. Praise God.
Thank you.
My question is, if I have a friend who's going through baptism, or he's actually been baptized, and he again turns and walks with the world afterward, would a person consider him lost? I don't know if I've seen like so much signs of the Holy Spirit, maybe some, or maybe you can explain that to me, please. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to distinguish between reality and appearance. The example that I've used continuously in the Bible Answer Men broadcast is Judas. If you were around in the first century when Jesus walked the earth, and you were an eyewitness to the inner circle of Christ, you would have said, I want to be like Judas. I mean, if there's someone you wanted to emulate, it would have been Judas. He was performing miracles. He was driving out demons. He was proclaiming the works of Christ. And he was even entrusted as the quote-unquote treasurer. That's overstating a little bit, but, you know, Scripture says he kept the money bag. So, you know, he'd say this is a guy with great integrity and wisdom. And this has to be the real McCoy. And so you would watch from a distance and say, wow, I want to be like Judas. However, Jesus saw a far different reality. He saw that Judas was not there because Judas loved Jesus, but rather Judas was there because Judas loved what was on Jesus' table. In other words, Judas liked all that Jesus brought until, of course, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And then Judas had a change of heart until Jesus became unpopular with the people and with the leaders. Well, Judas had at least an apparent change of heart, but Jesus saw what Judas was about from the beginning because Jesus looks beyond externalities. Jesus sees the heart. So I think the first thing that we have to discuss whenever we talk about this subject is the fact that we really don't know who the real McCoy is. We see the exterior. The Lord sees the heart. So that's one part of the equation. The other thing I think that's very important for all of us to recognize is that true followers of Jesus Christ are not those who made a transaction somewhere along the line, but rather those who are involved in transformational relationship to the pillar and the ground of truth, meaning that they are partaking of the graces by which they become, by grace, what God is by nature. So it isn't transactional. It's transformational in a relational sense within the community of faith. Now, there are people that start out with the Lord and then many fall away. Why? Because of the very difficult things that Jesus said. Remember what he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Wow, that was really hard for people to take. And many at that point decided, I'm out of here. Particularly when you recognize the impact of the secular Koine Greek in which these words were spoken. A little more impactful than even the translation into modern English. And then the last thing I would say in this regard, and I think this is very, very important, that is, look, if you are a genuine follower of Christ, you can have confidence that he who began a good work in you is going to carry that work on to completion. Because Scripture tells us precisely that in Philippians chapter 1. Or you can read the words of John in John chapter 5. He who believes has eternal life. or what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Now, Christ works through means. You can walk away from those means, and if you do, then you're demonstrating like Judas and others that could not take the words of our Lord, that the faith within you was not genuine faith. You were not genuinely turning with God's help and demonstrating a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of the will. Because those that do are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Now, I'm simply quoting scripture there, which is to say that I have an absolute assurance that I will never walk away from the Lord. I have the seal of the Holy Spirit. I know that I have ordered my life around the divine, and I have fallen madly in love with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have fallen madly in love with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I've realized my all in finding my fellowship in the Trinity. So ultimately, that love is only going to increase as my love for my wife and kids continues to increase. I've written about this in various places, but don't think that this is a journey you can go alone. When you become a believer, you're part of a community of faith. You're never a Lone Ranger Christian. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, some incredible broadcasts coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday while I'm having chemo. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Tom Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, to show you why, like Bethel, he's inclined to say that there is actually no evidence for evolution. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Ostenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, ostenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Ostenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. 7000 CRI or visit equip.org.